The lunar calendar pulled together several spiritual and cultural events this past week. Within the same 24-hour period between February 17th and 18th, Ramadan, Lent, and the Chinese New Year began. Ramadan being the holy month of fasting for Muslims and the keeping of it one of the five pillars of Islam, from now until Eid al-Fitr, the feast of fast breaking, Muslims will devote themselves more to prayer and the reading of the Quran. Allah is said to forgive the past sins of those who keep a holy Ramadan. The Chinese New Year welcomed the year of the fire horse, a symbol of strength and freedom, perseverance and energy. The origins of the Chinese New Year are steeped in legend. One legend is that thousands of years ago, a monster named Nian would attack villagers at the beginning of each new year. The monster was afraid of loud noises and bright lights and the color red. So those things were used to chase the beast away. So celebrations to usher out the old year and bring forth the luck and prosperity of the new one often include fireworks and red clothes. Any lingering bad luck in one's home is also dealt with through a thorough cleaning, that spring cleaning. We enjoy the multicultural composition of the cities of our nation, often celebrating these spiritual and cultural events with people to be a country that fosters multi-faith experiences. You can see in these events some familiar pieces or threads or connections with the Christian tradition of Lent and the fabric of our faith. Fasting, forgiveness of sins, prayer, reading of scripture, cleaning out the house, having Shrove Tuesday pancake suppers, and facing down a bad dragon, otherwise known as the serpent of the garden. And in the end, having fireworks or sort of decorating eggs and having a big Easter feast with friends and family. Even the color red is a connecting thread to the altar cloths that we put up during Holy Week, symbolizing the passion of Christ. The freedom to choose between any of these diverse human expressions of spiritual and cultural practices is highly valued out here on the coast. This is often to the detriment of not living fully into the pattern of any one of these different spiritualities and the communities meant to be sustained by sticking to them, sticking to those practices. The Christian church's traditions are as particular and unique as the others mentioned here and those to come in the next 40 days, including Judaism. What this time affords us is the opportunity to become more of who we are designed to be by God, through God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lent is a lot more than about giving up chocolate or anything else we feel we have been overly indulgent with this past year. Our 40 days of Lent are the chance we have as a community throughout the world to be given the tools and the desire to work with God, to cut away those pieces of the things we have attached to ourselves that do not reflect the divine image. This is our time to let God stitch us together into being an honorable garment of praise and glory to our God. When you want to sew a particular garment, like linen bib overalls, you look for a pattern that will help you do this, if you stick to it. The pattern is designed to assist you in cutting out the fabric pieces according to your size for these bibs, not for any other kind of bibs, not for any other type of garment either. It is particular and unique from all other patterns. So too is the pattern of Christ. He is one designed to to help us to be outfitted to be like him. From the scene in the garden to the scene in the wilderness, we see ourselves as humans, first in the humans Adam and Eve, and second in the human Jesus. What we see are stripped down versions of ourselves, naked and ashamed in the first, and sorely tempted and famished in the second. We aren't presented with a glamorous, newly minted couple, nor with a well-shaven and well-fed professor on the cusp of teaching a new course in the school of life. If someone were to lay the foundations for an institution for human growth and well-being based on these sacred stories, we may be leery of joining it. If we were to prepare an initiation rite that would take 40 days to prepare for, by insisting that candidates reflect on these stories, we might not have too many candidates coming forward. Typically, people want to join something after a presentation of a success story and be handed a swag bag containing a new coffee thermos and t-shirt with a hip logo on them, and then some protein bars and a lanyard that says, "I can turn stones into bread, and so can you." Genesis 2 and 3 and Matthew 4 were stories, however, intentionally used for teaching baptismal candidates during the 40 days of Lent. People were interested enough to join the institution called the Christian Church because they found these stories compelling. Unfortunately, the depiction of humans fallen and naked and ashamed became a defining feature of Christian theology. So strong and potent is this part of the story that to this day many in the church and outside of it have a rather grim view of humanity. So grim that we can't help but fill our imaginations with awful depictions of our depravity, and we have put them down in etchings and drawings like the artist Hieronymus Bosch did. So taken has our institution been with sin and the devil that people sought out a life in the desert to face their evil nature and the devil like Saint Anthony. The artwork and biographies have left an indelible mark on us and made it difficult to redress ourselves in any other garments than the ones pieced together out of fallenness, nakedness, and shame. Is this what Lent is meant to lay on our shoulders? Are we entering a season for deepening our despair about human life? Do we need to solidify even further our failings, our shortcomings, our stupidity, our overindulgent and selfish ways? Perhaps we should stop reducing the 40 days of Lent to simply, though maybe with difficulty, be a time to give up something. For less chocolate consumption isn't going to outfit us any better in being properly human. I am sure that many in the Western world today have not heard the good in the story of the scriptures of our institution. Many can't quite begin a journey of faith based on what we share in our collective imagination about ourselves as shameful humans. Let's try something else on for size and see if there isn't a better fit for us all. The Holy Spirit has chauffeured Jesus to a place far out of town and dropped him off in the middle of nowhere. The devil, dressed in a couture designer suit, like one depiction in a movie, right? He looks Jesus up and down, takes out his measuring tape, and sizes Jesus up. The savvy tailor has designs on Jesus' body, mind, and heart. The devil of the garden, who gave Adam and Eve their first set of clothes, tried his design out on them and succeeded, so he gives it another go with Jesus. The devil pulls out his pattern to begin to cut out the garment that will give Jesus a better image than he has so far. Jesus courageously faces the devil and piece by piece cuts up the pattern of his evil design, because he holds in his mind and his body and spirit a design for him given to him by the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows what he is made for and who he is, and he will stick to that. The Father, you see, spoke to him before the Spirit took him into the wilderness. And he sent him into the wilderness with these words, "You are my beloved." There in the wilderness, Jesus feasts on these words, and it helps him to stay true to the person he is as the true image of God on earth. He refuses to be retrofitted. Jesus won't put on any other garment than the one he is designed to wear as the Son of God and love incarnate. Do we not agree with Jesus that people, you and I included, need to feast on the same word, beloved, and work from this core of understanding of ourselves to be good? We have lost the knowledge of ourselves as good. We are humans meant for goodness and meant for bearing the image and actions of divine goodness in our mind and our body and our heart. The devil of the garden told Adam and Eve, "You will become like God if you decide to eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil." But you see, they already were like God. They were created a little lower than the angels, we are told in Psalm 8. And earlier in Genesis, we are told that we are made in the image and likeness of God, who is Creator, Christ, and Spirit. We are designed to wear the garments of God, wearing nothing else, nothing but God's clothing. We were designed, you see, to tend and care for this garden called earth and to tend for ourselves and our spirits in it as well. We were to do so in friendship with God and not dress ourselves up in any other way. The pattern for our lives as humans was placed on our shoulders, though, and we shook it off and became naked, actually, until Christ came and told us who we truly are. Let us pattern ourselves after Christ, who did all he did from this deep awareness of who he was, and know that we are becoming like Christ as we do. This is the end goal. Romans 13 says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." And Paul goes on in another text in Colossians saying this, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." Let us stick with this pattern that Christ has given us of his life, of his actions, and know that as we go through Lent and we get to Easter, we will be more like him in doing so. Amen.